Hey, 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 good morning. Welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast. The Bipolar Bear Codcast? I guess I'm fish now. I mean, I like a good cod as much as the next person, but hey, welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast with your host, Garrett Michael Conklin. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So I hope your day's going well. My day's been going well so far. That's not to say that it will not absolutely jump off and go bananas, but I have lots of updates today, including my core topic for today's episode, international friends. So that's kind of cool. Anyway, but let me get into some of the updates. So let's see. I'm done with my old job. So yay. And I did an exit interview. And as you can well imagine, I had plenty of shit to say. I don't know why companies do that. They're not going to take anything that I said constructively, and they're not going to do a damn thing about it, which is why I'm leaving. So pretty funny, but I gave him definitely a piece of my mind in the most civil and professional way I could without being a total maniac. But yeah, there were a lot of problems there. And what we really came to realize, interestingly enough, and it's too bad they won't do anything with it, but what really came to light was that there are a lot of small issues rather than like one big issue. There's a lot of small issues that need to be resolved, but in compound, these small issues are creating big problems. So that's a good takeaway. If you're, you know, where you're working, maybe you're a leader, maybe you're a manager, supervisor, CEO, who knows, whatever you are. If you're in a position like that, it might be worthwhile to understand that a lot of small problems can be just as bad as a smaller number of large problems. So just because you don't think you have big problems in your world of your business world doesn't mean that you don't have a shit ton of small ones that are all adding up to be equivalent to having some big problems in your organization. So keep that in mind. That's pretty good. Pretty good sauce, man. Anyway, what else? So yesterday we, my wife and I have been looking for like car after car. I don't know if anyone looking for a car out there, good freaking luck, man. It is bananas. It's so hard to get a vehicle. We're looking for a used car between $10,000 and $12,000, less than 80,000 miles, newer than, like 2012 or newer, four-door car type thing, maybe a small SUV, something like that. And that's a pretty sweet spot. I mean, there should be a shit ton of options in that range. And there are. The problem is, because there's no new cars to buy, or maybe, all these online dealers, you know, the dealerships that are listing their cars online, when you go search the inventory, oh yeah, here they have tons of them. And then when you go to the dealer, oh, they're all sold. It's like, what the fuck are you doing, man? You're listing all these cars that are already sold. What, I mean, but, man, so it's, anyway, the point of that has been, it's been super frustrating to try to find a car for my daughter in that price range, because everything we find that we like, we go and check it out and then they don't have it. Or we go and check it out and it's like, we were at this dealership yesterday and like every car they had looked like it was in like a rock storm or something. I mean, there were dings and pings and look, I'm not looking for perfection, but what the hell, man? I mean, the car is like falling apart. It wasn't even like an attempt to clean it up or make it look good. And they wanted like $13,000-$14,000 for these things. I'm like, you're out of your mind. There's just no way. These are pieces of shit. Good luck selling them. But interestingly enough, my wife has, you know, we don't get along all that well most of the time on 99% of the stuff, but has really stepped up for this and has been doing all the legwork, calling and finding things out and setting up appointments. So kudos to her. That was really great. Anyway, she found a listing on Facebook of all frickin' places. And we were out at this dealership in Niagara Falls, New York, and it was on the way home. So we're like, oh, let's, from a private seller. So we'll just go, well, let's go take a look. And we drive into this neighborhood and it's this beautiful neighborhood, beautiful homes, you know, all really nice, high quality stuff. We get to the, the home with the car and I'm like, holy shit, this is a beautiful house. It's a really nice house, probably like 2,600 square feet, good size, you know, new, well taken care of, three car garage. I'm like, this is a nice house, man. So I had high expectations, you know, and the people came out and they were elderly. So it was even better at that point. I'm like, oh wow, this is probably you know, a little old lady that's been driving this car around, and just they're getting rid of it now. And what it turns out is she's 92 years old, and her family thinks that it's time she probably stopped driving. So her husband will drive her around, but she has a car and they're getting rid of it. And it had low miles, low price. I'm like, everything about it is perfect. And the guy comes out and we start talking, and he's got like index cards of all the services that have been done to it, all the work he's had done to it, all the paper. I mean, it was like the perfect dream. So I bought the car right on the spot. My daughter drove it around the block. I'm like, hey, what do you think? She's like, oh, I really like it. Done. And I offered the guy $9,500. He took it. Done. I drove out to the bank, grabbed $9,500 cash, drove back. We now have a new car. Because right now the market is brutal. You can't really sleep on these things. And a car like this from a person like this is going to go instantly, just like it did. First person that's going to see this car is going to buy it because it was priced right. I offered him a few hundred bucks under what he was asking, and he took it. So done deal. So now we just have to go through the DMV process next week, and you still have to make a friggin' appointment to go into the DMV. Yeah. Ridiculous stuff out here still in New York. I don't know what they're thinking here, but anyway, so that should be an experience. My freaking car that I backed up and bumped in won't be ready till Friday of next week. I'm like, what the hell? You gotta be kidding me. They're waiting on some part that's not repairable. They have to replace it, and they're not going to get it till Thursday. So my car probably won't be ready till Friday. Like, so that kind of sucks. But fortunately, my wife took off Tuesday. We're all off Monday. She took off Tuesday, so I can use her car Tuesday. She only works Wednesday. My son or my daughter, somebody can drive her to work because she works locally. So I'll take her car Wednesday, Thursday, and Thursday, Friday, she doesn't work. So, as much as I bitch about her schedule and the fact that she doesn't work full time, right now it's actually good, because otherwise I'd have to rent a stupid car, because I've been working remote for so long that I don't have car rental on my insurance policy, because I've never needed it for 15 years because I'm at home. So if I don't have a car for a day or a week or something, it doesn't make any difference. I just won't go anywhere. So it's not really a big deal, but of course, timing is a weird thing. It's very ironic in that respect. So, we're going to figure that out anyway. But yeah, the good news about this whole thing is that my daughter has a car now, and it's a nice little car, and it's a perfect first little car. It's the right price. I just, I wasn't planning on paying all cash up front for one of these. I wanted to actually do a co-signer loan for her so that she could have a loan on her credit, so that when I pay the loan perfectly on time, she would start to help build her credit history. But didn't work out that way this time, so we'll figure something else out there to help her build her credit as she moves forward in life. But nevertheless, we got her a car, so that's kind of cool. Now the big conundrum, word of the day, right, is I have a 70-foot long driveway, but putting four cars in a driveway, it's only 2.5 cars wide. It's not like this massive thing, so it's pretty difficult to get cars now. We have three in and out of the driveway. Now we'll have four, so it's going to be kind of an interesting, like, how are we going to do this? Especially since I have to go somewhere 5 days a week now for work. It's funny how, I've been working remote for all this time, and like now all of a sudden it's like least optimal for me to be not working remote, but I don't know. I still have a couple of other options on the table for remote jobs, so who knows what's going to happen. You know me, afraid to leave the house, Garrett. I don't like to go anywhere, do anything. It's, I've been trying a lot harder, but it's still not really that great for me to leave. Side note, as I'm looking at my podcast recording live right in front of me, I don't know what is going on with Anchor, but the last two podcasts, I'm sitting here telling you that I'm taking breaks and there's going to be an ad in the middle, like a mid-roll I was talking about a few episodes ago. And they're not, when I'm uploading this, you have the option to like add ads or not, promotional segments. So I've added the promotional segment that you hear at the beginning going, hey guys, this is Garrett Michael Conklin, use Anchor. So I have that one. And then I put another one in the middle thinking they would fill it up with some other ad, and they're just not. So what I'm going to try this episode is when I get to about 20 minutes or so, I'm not going to put the ad at the top of this. I'm going to put the ad in the middle. So I'm going to see if that works, because what's happened is that there's just no ad. It just goes from one thing to the next, which is kind of stupid. So maybe I shouldn't even give a shit about that. I mean, like I said, I'm making like, I don't know, not even a penny a stream on this. So it's not like it's, it's not like I'm getting, like I haven't even made $20 doing this. So it's not, I'm just trying to, as I was looking at in the episode, a few episodes ago, explaining like, you know, and bitching about why these things don't work and why they don't grow. I'm like, oh, I learned something new. Maybe I'm supposed to put the ad in the center. I feel like I read it correctly, but it's not doing what it's saying it's doing as usual. I mean, all these sites and platforms are just such horseshit when it comes to promotion and money and stuff like that. Until you get to be a big size, nobody gives a rat's ass about a podcast like this because I only have a few thousand listeners. It's like, nobody cares until you have hundreds of thousands or millions. Then it's like, oh, the whole world's on board and everybody wants to advertise and be a sponsor and all this crap that was not an option before becomes this big option. So maybe, I don't know. On that topic, I'm not sure that I'm going to do anything. I just might ramble through these things 40 straight minutes and that it is what it is. But what do I know? I felt like I did it right and I guess I'm not doing it right. What other updates? So actually what I wanted to talk about today was international friends. So as you know, if you've listened to this for a while, if you've not, this is your first time through, thanks for joining. But I used to work for Yahoo and a version of Yahoo that is, in fact, Google, because when Marissa Mayer came over to be the CEO of Yahoo, part of her transition was to basically Googleize or Googleify Yahoo. And it worked really well. I mean, it was a great system. So in a way, I worked for Google. I didn't work for Google directly, but I worked indirectly because the CEO of Yahoo was an executive at Google for a long time and really brought over their business model and principles of operating and things like that. So we were basically working the same way Google was. So I say that a lot, that, you know, I'm familiar with how Google does things because I basically worked for Google as well as Yahoo. But in my roles there in engineering, you know, we had a globally distributed technology group. There were thousands of people that lived not in the United States, but in India, Asia, the UK, all over the place. So I made a lot of friends with people of extraordinarily diverse cultures and backgrounds. And I think I've touched on this before. One of the guys that was local that actually had a visa and came over to the United States to work invited me to his home and we had like a traditional Indian meal. And it was really cool. You know, like you eat with your hands, there's no silverware. It was a very interesting experience. And I was very honored to have been invited into their home because I guess that's a pretty big deal, unlike here in America where that's kind of a normal thing. We're way more casual about stuff like that. And I think it's a much more, it's a much different thing in different cultures. But in any event, I've been reminded of that quite a bit of late because oddly enough, and I never use Twitter, someone, and I say one because I have no idea if the person that I'm talking to on Twitter here is actually the person that is represented by their Twitter account. But the point is they're from Hong Kong. And I thought that was really cool because, you know, I always bitch about technology and complain and whine and all that stuff. But one of the really neat things is like I literally have a pen pal now who lives in Hong Kong, which I think is really cool. Again, I don't know if this is some kind of scam and they're trying to get me to get friendly enough where I give out information or something like that. So it really kind of sucks that that's how you got to think about these things. And you have to be wary of like everybody. But you know, the downside is the photo of the profile looks like someone that would not reach out to me. And look, I'm not downing myself. I'm not some hideous, gross monster, but I'm not Brad Pitt. You know, I'm not some Adonis. I'm just a regular guy. You know, I mean, I don't think I'm unattractive, but I'm not like undeniably a hot guy and like every chick in the world would reach out to me. So looking at the photo of this young lady, it's kind of like, you know, it's definitely sus, as my kids would say. It's suspect because why would an attractive young girl from China want to talk to an old fart like me from America? It doesn't make any sense at all. But in any event, we've been having a really nice conversation and it hasn't gotten weird or any strange questions haven't come up. But what it reminded me was how much I miss the fact that I used to have so many friends from China and Asia that I used to work with. And I don't know what that is, but it's not like I don't like what I am, that I'm just a regular old Caucasian man and I don't have any like aggression inward toward myself. I just really like other cultures as well. I find it very interesting to learn and be around people that just do things differently than I do. I've also found that my personality works much better in the midst of people that are not from America, which is also kind of alarming or unexpected, I guess would be a good way to say that, in that, like, I've never been taken negatively from or emotionally from anyone from Asia or anyone from India. And I've said this before that, you know, we'll have conversations and I'll get, you know, kind of wound up and get excited and loud and things like that. And it doesn't ever affect anyone the same way it does regular Americans, where they get all butthurt and have to go run home and tell on you and you get in trouble and, oh no, this guy said this and he's too mean and he's too dumb. And, you know, all these, you know, we're a bunch of pussies over here in America. No offense to Americans, but people here have no friggin' spines anymore. You can't say shit to anyone over here without getting in trouble. Doesn't matter what it is or how you say it. And arguably, I'm a bit of a crude individual, especially on this thing. I mean, I don't speak with profanity or anything like that at work. Well, I did a couple times, but those were in closed door meetings. But, you know, I don't mistreat people. I'm just a very dominating personality. And I think other cultures just accept that much better than the babies we have over here in America. And of course, everyone here isn't a baby, but there's a lot of babies. We got a lot of bubble blowing babies over here, man, where you can't say a damn thing without offending someone. And look, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just speaking. And like I said, I'm a very direct, truthful, transparent person. So if things aren't working, I'm just saying, hey, things aren't working. Let's figure this out. I'm not saying you fucked it up and that's why it's not working. Whether that's the case or not is irrelevant. I really could care less. The idea and the fact is there's a problem. We need to fix it. Let's fix it. And we'll worry about who did what wrong and how to get you the right training and all that stuff after we fix it, if that's necessary. But I'm not trying to offend you or call you out or embarrass you, but stop being so sensitive. If you screwed up, just own it, man. Don't be such a pussy about it. Own the fact that you made a mistake. It's not a tragedy. We all fail. We all make mistakes. It's who gives a shit? Let's just fix it and move on and you know, try not to do that again. That would be optimal. Learn from your mistakes so that you become better. I don't know how you improve in life if you don't do that. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to learn from those mistakes and you're going to become a better person because you've learned from your mistakes. That's life experience, man. If you don't do that, you just get stuck being the same moron you are now forever. I guess there's people like that out there. And I think that they're running rampant in America as I watch video after video of people on YouTube and TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. Just, wow. I don't know where these people come from, but they really have their head far up their ass in a lot of different ways. And it's very strange. But anyway, having this strange kind of conversation about this with this person from China is fun and cool. And, you know, like I said, I'm a little suspect about the whole thing, but it's really, you know, caused me to reminisce about all of my long lost international friends that I haven't spoken to in a long time now. And, you know, just kind of thinking back on how fun that was and what a great experience that was. And I do miss that. And I wish that I could, I don't know. It's weird that I feel so comfortable in what would normally be an uncomfortable environment, but I really liked that experience. I really enjoyed, you know, working with people from India and Asia and learning about their culture and their colloquialisms and how they do things and what makes them tick and all the interesting facts that, you know, cause I mean, you know, this person I'm talking to is, I think, 13 hours ahead of me in time zone. So even that, it's like we're completely opposite side of the world. You know, it's a really cool thing that technology can bridge a gap like that, even for, you know, just some off the cuff banter with somebody. But I've been having a lot of fun with this conversation. So who knows? I don't know. Maybe this is like a catfish thing or like a like a cyber attack, you know, trying to scam me into giving information, but I don't have much to lose, right? Let's be honest. I'm not some I'm not some multimillionaire famous dude. I'm just some schmo from Lockport, New York. But again, it's really sad that I would even conclude or kind of postulate something like that, where it's like, I got to worry about, it could be just a perfectly innocent reach out and someone saying, hey, how you doing? And, you know, we started talking about music actually, which is where the whole thing began. So, I mean, it seems innocent enough, but man, it's just so shitty that society and at large today is so fixated on all the negatives that you can't help but think that, like, well, what's really going on here? What's the underlying reason that someone that doesn't seem like they would reach out to me would reach out to me? Because as I've said before, I get a lot of people that reach out to me, but it's 99.9% men, and it's men looking for information about music, records, record label stuff, publishing. I played a trumpet. They want to tell me they bought the one that I recommended in a demo video I did, stuff like that. It's not, I don't get like DMs from hot chicks going, hey man, how you doing? What's going on? Which, you know, I mean, that's fine. It's just when it happens, it's very rare. And if it does happen, it's very suspect. It's like, what is this even a girl? I mean, I don't even know if this is a woman or not. I'd have no idea. Their profile is pretty, there's a lot of flags, right? That's all I'm saying. Their profile is pretty minimal. I think pretty early on, they asked me what my WhatsApp number was. And I'm like, what the hell? WhatsApp? Who that? I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. International internet is not the same as American. Like if you live, well, I don't know where, but I know it's not the same as it is in America everywhere. Like my data plan is unlimited. And my texting, all that kind of stuff is unlimited internet. It doesn't matter. It's included in what I pay for. But I know for sure in India that WhatsApp was a huge thing because they were paying per text. So nobody texted. Everybody used an app. And I think that, you know, this young lady wanted, or whomever this is, wanted to talk about, talk outside of Twitter. And I'm like, well, I don't even have that app. And it's like, I've seen that a lot on TikTok too. Like a lot of the crypto investors and stuff like that, they're like, you know, hit me up on WhatsApp. And I'm like, well, why would you want to, who the hell uses that? But I guess that's an international thing. That's not something that's domestic for me. I don't use it. I don't have the app. I don't know why I would use it. I have unlimited text. If I really want to talk to somebody in a private message, I can give them my phone number and they can text me. But I guess that's not how it works in some of these other countries. They would have to pay for every transmission, and that could get probably pretty ridiculous. I mean, I must send like 100,000 texts a month, if not more. So I can imagine if I had to pay even like a couple cents for that, it would be, you know, I would be like, screw that. I'm not doing that. Let's use an app for that. So I guess I understand, and that makes perfect sense. But it's also, again, it's just lead you back to that. Well, why do you want me to give you a WhatsApp? That's weird. And, you know, it's so sad. And as I get into this, it's so sad. This just tells you how negative I really feel about myself, because I'm looking at a photograph of a person and I'm immediately passing judgment. And that's so wrong, right? Just because this person is, generally speaking, and I don't mean this in a negative way, I just mean anyone that looked at this photograph of this young lady, you're going to go, yeah, she's a very beautiful young lady, very pretty. And immediately, as soon as somebody is physically attractive, there's all this shit. So it actually must suck to be an attractive person where this happens, especially a woman, because I'm sure women get inundated with this crap all the time, where, you know, guys are anything from complete abomination and pig and disgusting to like, okay, this guy is too good to be true. Why is he being so nice to me? Oh, look, he's a 500-pound fat piece of shit. That's why he's being nice, because he's unattractive and that's what he's got, is a good personality. So when you kind of fall in the middle of that, it's like, well, I'm not really ugly. I don't think that negatively about myself, but you know, I'm 49 years old. I'm not young. I'm not hot. I'm not highly desirable. I don't get millions of DMs and stuff like my son does. Gets constantly hit up by chicks, you know, and he's 21. So he's in the prime of his life in that respect. So it makes a lot of sense, but it's unfortunate that just because somebody looks a certain way, you immediately come to conclusions, whether you're trying to or not, or consciously or not, that it's like, well, this is too good to be true. There's no way that somebody that's attractive would be interested in having a meaningful conversation with me. That's just unheard of. And that really sucks because I'm sure there's plenty of really attractive people that want to have quality conversations, and it has nothing to do with physicality or what they look like. And I'm sure they don't see themselves as what other people see them as. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's a number of people that are, you know, stuck up and very arrogant and snobby and know how beautiful they are and use it to their advantage. But in the end, everybody's just a person, right? So it's it's kind of a disappointing revelation to think about how just because you're good looking, people are going to treat you differently. Even good people like me. Like, I'm not in any way trying to take advantage of this or be gross or sexual in nature, anything like that. I'm just having what seems to be a really nice conversation with somebody on the other side of the world. And we've been, you know, it's been nice for the last couple of days just to shoot the breeze, but it's almost as if you'd wish the photo was somebody that you were like, oh yeah, that makes sense that they would reach out to me. it feels like it's just an imbalance in that way. And then that's just, again, that's such a disappointing kind of, I don't know, what would you call that? That's a disappointing circumstance or experience, or I don't know. It's too bad that exists in that way in today's society, because we have the means to talk to people globally and meet people you would never, you know, and that was what I was really thinking about this. I'm like, wow, this is so cool, because this is somebody I would never in my lifetime have met. I mean, what are there, like a billion people over in China? I mean, the chances of running into somebody that probably doesn't speak English very well, you know, and I don't speak Mandarin or Cantonese or whatever it is that is the primary language wherever this person's from. So, you know, it's kind of like, man, things are so screwed up right now. It's so weird, because you would talk to people, you're talking to people online that you would very likely not talk to in real life. But that's so disappointing, because why wouldn't you talk to these people? Let's say we did meet. It would be based purely initially on physical appearance. Like, oh no, that guy's, you know, he's 6'1", he's too big, he's 270 pounds, he's this big football player wrestler looking dude. And I'm sure, you know, most Asian people are much more delicate and small. They're small. I mean, even Bruce Lee, who was ripped and shredded, was a little tiny guy. You know, he wasn't a big man, he was just a killer, you know, in terms of his kung fu. And you know, he was in amazing shape and looked fantastic, but he was physically a small person. So that's a very awkward, like, you know, that's a preference. You either like that or you don't. You know, I mean, some women like big men, some women like skinny men, some women like tall men, some women like short men, you know, I mean, all that kind of stuff. It's preference, right? So unfortunately, and fortunately, simultaneously, when you meet somebody online, none of that shit matters. But at the same time, there's this undertone of like, what's the real motivation here? What do you really, and maybe it's just me that I'm paranoid and I'm always thinking about somebody trying to hack me, because I'm always in technology and that stuff happens so often. I actually got an email the other day from M&T Bank saying, hey, we're having a problem logging into your account. And it was a great email for the most part. Like, these phishing attacks are getting really good. So I can see why people are still getting caught up in it. I mean, I don't understand how these people don't understand that a fucking domain name is required. You know, I mean, they're just sending emails from these ridiculously randomly constructed domains that are so easy to identify as bullshit. I mean, at least you could do like MTB SRS or something like that, or SMS, or, you know, make something that looks fucking close, man, not like just some random string of characters.com. That's like first telltale sign. And then when they format the email for HTML, they're not very good at it, because their UX, whoever's designing this, isn't getting the right padding and the right, they're just not doing a good job. So you're seeing like logos on top of text, and, you know, telltale signs of total bullshit. And of course your bank would never send you anything to click on, you know? And so I just, of course, at that point, just go look at my account and make sure everything is what it is, you know, manually logging in on a different device, not even from the device I'm looking at the email on. And then I mark them as spam and delete them, but they're getting pretty good. But it's, you know, that's why there's skepticism for something like this. And it's too bad, because what if this is just a really nice person and we're having a great conversation? And here I am thinking it's like this malicious attempt to scam me out of money or get some personal information for me, or God only knows what my brain can come up with. But anyway, I mean, that was such a random tangent, but I think it's really cool, you know, to be able to take a look at this entire world and, you know, you can, I don't know. I just think it's really, this sounds so pathetic, but it's kind of touching when somebody reaches out. I know that sounds so pathetic and ridiculous, but when somebody reaches out in a more personal way than just a response on your post and sends you a message, you know, I want very much for this to be real just because it's so nice to have a real conversation with a real person. But, you know, a big part of me still thinks there's something fishy about the whole thing and there's something up, but I'll enjoy it for as long as I can. And believe me, I have stories. Oh my God. I have stories I could tell you about people that I've talked to for online for, oh my God, years, and were just lying about everything. It was like this, the longest catfish of all time. This one guy, oh my God. And you know, he was, I guess he was a gay man and he had developed feelings for me. I mean, it was just this crazy. He always said he was coming out. He told me he was a super rich, you know, I mean, every warning sign you can imagine was up, but I talked to him on the phone a few times. I mean, whoever this was a real person, but it was a total catfish because every time it came like, hey man, come out, let's hang out. I mean, why can't we be friends? I'm totally cool with that. You know, you seem like a nice person. You got all this money. Fly out here. What the hell do I care? Let's go have a beer, you know, no worries. And of course, none of that ever panned out. It was all bullshit, you know, but it's so disappointing because I'm such a pathetic person that I'm so longing for something like that, that I don't have in my life. Maybe I'll, you know, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to be optimistic. Maybe now that I have another job, I'm going to, right, starting Tuesday, I'll meet some different people and maybe I'll get along with some people and strike up some friendships and have some good interactions, some real transparency, some real sincerity, you know, real things. And maybe it'll turn into something more. So we'll have to kind of play that by ear. Also, I just had this recollection that I haven't been, a revelation, that I haven't been reading any poetry. I wonder why I've been skipping out on that. Anyway, I'm going to skip out on it again today. I didn't really have any intention of reading something, and I have nothing in there that has anything to do with a topic of international friends. But anyway, for all my friends that were from India and China and the UK and all these other places around the world, thanks for being my friend. I miss you. You know, I still have the kurtas that I got from India from my friends that came over here. Love wearing that stuff every once in a while. It's fun. But yeah, just great opportunities to meet everyone. And I feel really, really blessed to have made some contacts like that in my life. And I probably should reach out to these people and just say, hey man, how you doing? But with that, I hope you have a good weekend, good days ahead. And you know, as always, thanks for listening. I really appreciate the support that I get here on this platform. And I hope what I'm saying is in some way interesting and entertaining to you. And you keep coming back for more. Talk to you soon.